Welcome into the Rock Talk Studio, the podcast that answers the question, is this rock and roll book or documentary worth your time and money? Today, I'm going to be taking a look at the new documentary, The Immediate Family, which I'll review, rate, and determine if this one's for you. And then, as always, I'll leave you with all the book buzz and documentary news you don't want to miss. And this month, there's been a huge announcement, a book easily the most anticipated release of the year from someone I thought would never write a book. I'll be getting into that. I'm your host, Big Rick. Join me for an exclusive look into what's hitting the shelves and screens, and get ready to rock your reading and viewing list. The Immediate Family documentary was produced by Danny Tedesco. Danny is the same guy who did the documentary about his dad, the famous LA session player who played with the band The Wrecking Crew. And this is kind of an extension of that, the 70s, 80s, and 90s version featuring the next generation of LA session players. The Immediate Family is made up of Danny Korchmar, Cooch as he's known, Waddy Wachtel, Leland Sklar, and Russ Kunkel. And if you don't know who they are, I can guarantee you've heard them play. They were kind of the sound of the 70s, being the band for iconic albums from Stevie Nicks, Jackson Browne, James Taylor, Neil Young, Warren Zevon, Don Henley, Carole King, Phil Collins. It is a long list. There's a lot more people they've worked with. The documentary serves as a recognition party for these players. You get a little background on each of the guys and how they became session players. And now that was pretty cool. These guys just really loved being a no-name band and had really no aspirations for becoming anything more than just session players. They were in bands growing up, but then session was their thing. They were playing with some of their heroes, and the documentary does a nice job of showing just how much they loved being a part of the band and playing with these talents. There is also very little drama or issue between players. Actually, there's very little drama shown. These four guys have a lot of praise for each other and really enjoy being this band. Talking about how they came up with some of their iconic parts in the songs, it was probably one of two of my favorite parts of this documentary. You've got Waddy Wachtel, the guitar player, discussing cutting Werewolves in London with Warren Zevon and how they called in the rhythm section of Mick Fleetwood and John McVie from Fleetwood Mac. And when he talks about how hard it is to keep up with the chugging intro to Stevie Nicks' Edge of 17, that was really cool. Korchmar discusses working on Don Henley's song, All She Wants to Do Is Dance, and learning new technology in the 80s that just came out and how difficult that was. And then watching Leland Sklar, the bass player, do the bass line for James Taylor, Fire and Rain was really good stuff. My second favorite part of this documentary is about the guests discussing their contributions. And the guest list for this, they brought in some huge talent. Keith Richards, Stevie Nicks, David Crosby, Steve Jordan's there, Phil Collins, Don Henley, Jackson Browne. Their recall of these players and these sessions really pumped up the importance of these players' contributions to these songs. A lot of these songs, they would be nothing if not for these players' great moments and just all the really great parts they came up with. The documentary is a pretty straightforward telling of this band. There is some mix of animation for cutting between scenes. I'm not really sure what that was there. It really didn't add much to the story. And really what this is and what the doc does, it just pulls the curtain back and finally gives a ton of much-deserved credit to these amazing players who backed up a long list of 70s and 80s hitmakers. The Immediate Family runs an hour and 42 minutes and is directed by Danny Tedesco. Coming up next, I stamp the official Rock Talk Studio rating on The Immediate Family, revealing the ultimate final judgment on this documentary. If you're finding value in the reviews, previews, and recommendations that I put together every month, and you're enjoying the show and would like to help me out with it, and thank you for even considering it, my podcast host Buzzsprout now has a new subscription option where for a couple bucks a month, as low as $3 actually, you can help me to continue to bring you a quality podcast. The money goes to helping me with my monthly operating costs and gets me my hands-on materials that I use for the show. Anything helps. The cool part about it is you can choose the amount. I really love doing the Rock Talk Studio podcast, so I appreciate any support that this amazing rock and roll community gives me. There's a little subscribe button. Again, you just click it in there and choose your amount that you'd like to subscribe to for every month and help out with the show. Thanks. Okay, let's get into rating the documentary, The Immediate Family. I use a rating system 1 through 4. 1, that's front row center. It doesn't get any better than this. Very unique, one of a kind, cannot miss. 2 is a floor seat. It's a good seat. You're going to get a great project. I highly recommend it. 3 is a load seat. You're okay, not bad. It still could be recommended. And 4, you're in the nosebleeds, baby. The Immediate Family documentary is a 3. I thought it was okay. There really is nothing here that makes it stand out other than celebrating these great players, which is really cool. I definitely want to stress that I loved seeing the musicians interacting with the people they've played with for years, showing you them doing their parts, talking about how songs came together and how they enjoyed playing in this amazing, amazing band through the 70s and 80s. I love that their story is being told, and it's told in great fashion, and it's entertaining, but not enough to knock me out and say, hey, don't miss this one. It's okay. I would recommend you seeing it, but I can't rate it any higher than a 3 out of 5. This podcast is where to go for the good stuff when it comes to rock and roll books and documentaries, so I want to tip you on where you can get a ton of great recommendations, and that is the show Archives. Reviews of projects from artists like Bowie, U2, I just reviewed the great new Geddy Lee book, Jimmy Page, Lucinda Williams, I talk about the Abbey Road Studios, the Allman Brothers, Cheap Trick, Randy Rhoads, and so much more. You can check out all the past shows anywhere you get your podcasts. Speaking of podcasts, I always like to tip you on new or cool rock and roll podcasts that I listen to, and there's a great Rolling Stones podcast out there called Under the Radar, a Rolling Stones podcast. These guys do some really cool stuff. They've got a great new episode coming out about the Steel Wheels album. I'm a big Steel Wheels fan from the Rolling Stones. Let's take a listen to what they're up to.
Hi, I'm Tim Lindsay.
And I'm Christian Bonner.
And we're hosts of Under the Radar, a Rolling Stones podcast, where we take an in-depth look at parts of the Rolling Stones' immense career that have gone overlooked or underappreciated. This month, our special guest is Chris Kimsey, who served as the recording engineer for 8 of the band's albums between 1977 and 1995. We're looking back with particular fondness at the sessions for Steel Wheels, the album celebrating its 35th anniversary this year, which Chris co-produced.
Are we rolling, Chris?
We're rolling. Got it in, Keith.
1, 2, 3, 4.
You'll hear Chris's stories about what it was like in the studio with the band while they recorded some of their masterpieces and some misadventures along the way.
Alan Dunn, who was Mick's right-hand man, actually went out sailing, got lost at sea on a dinghy, and he couldn't swim. So he was lost for, I think, 4 days at sea.
So look for Under the Radar, a Rolling Stones podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Until the next time, we say goodbye.
That's going to be a great episode. Looking forward to checking out, again, Under the Radar Rolling Stones podcast. You can find that anywhere you listen to your podcast. All right, you know what time it is. It's time for all that book buzz and documentary news. And there was some huge news about a new memoir coming out. Enough teasing it. Let's jump right in. There's a lot going on this month. I always start this segment with what has recently just come out. So let's go there. There's a couple of books that came out in the last couple of months. And the first one is Song and Dance Man, The Art of Bob Dylan, British writer Michael Gray's book, Song and Dance Man, The Art of Bob Dylan, Volume 1, 2, and 3 have just been reissued in America. The book first appeared in the UK in 72, and then Gray updated again in the early 80s, and then again in 2000. The book has been out of print for more than a dozen years, and what makes this so special is that this is not just another Bob Dylan book. It's 1,000 pages split into 3 volumes, and the depth of this study is unparalleled. The research is immense. It's a monumental grand thesis on Dylan's work. To be able to interpret Dylan and his vast, ever-changing, sometimes challenging catalog like this takes a special talent, and Gray is that talent. It's definitely not for casual fans. This is a study like no other, As Gray puts it, this is not a biography of Bob Dylan, but a critical study of his work. It doesn't look at what he eats for breakfast, but at what he writes in his songs. And case in point, there's a great example. There's a 100-page chapter on just one song, Lay Down Your Weary Tune. The book was known as the first serious book on Dylan for a reason, and some attest to it helping form the roadmap that leads to Dylan's writing being considered for a Nobel Prize. And I could definitely see that. If you're a Bob Dylan fan and are looking for a definitive study of his work, these three Song and Dance Band books will surpass anything you've ever read about. I want to mention one more book that I recently just finished up reading, and that is a book about George Harrison entitled The Reluctant Beatle by Philip Norman. If you don't know how important George was to the Beatles, there might not have been a Beatles if George wasn't in the group. This book explains how he really wasn't the quiet one, maybe around John and Paul. Writer Philip Norman uses a fairly steady pace. This book doesn't seem to drag much to go through the growth and twist of Harrison as an artist. Not only did George have his part in the success of the Beatles, which takes up most of the book definitely doesn't shy away from Beatles stories, but he contributed to introducing quote-unquote world music to the world. He staged the first all-star benefit concert with the Bangladesh shows, and he was a person who contributed to music and film. The book looks at Harrison's challenges, and it gets in the mud a little bit about his relationships with women. But yes, a lot of this story has been told before. There is some good pre-Beatles story, though. I could have used a little more depth from the post-Beatles chapters. This, to me, is what the book is lacking. And because I'm not from England, I had a hard time with a little bit of the slang that Norman used, sometimes, honestly, having no idea what he was talking about. A lot of people, especially Beatles fans, do not care for the way writer Philip Norman has written about the Beatles in the past. And I didn't know about this until I started doing a little social about this book and talking about this book, specifically an obituary that Norman wrote when George passed away. Norman goes out of his way to address this. He dedicated a whole chapter at the end of the book on this subject and apologizes repeatedly for writing a really crudely insulting piece about George's death. Overall, though, I did enjoy the book. I don't consider myself a huge Beatles expert, so I learned a few things about the great and, unfortunately, tragically short life of George Harrison. There's a couple other things that really sparked my interest that I want to turn you on to. A new book, Teenage Wasteland, The Who at Winterland, 1968 and 76. Kind of a cool premise. February 68 and then in March 1976, The Who performed shows in the same venue, San Francisco's Winterland. And these two shows make up the bookends of this book. Right before and right after the huge success The Who struggled to live with in the years between. At the first Winterland show in 68, there were just a few hundred hippies that turned up. And then in March 76, 43,000 requests for tickets were sent. This is an all-access look at those two shows. It's a glimpse at what it was like to see The Who at Billy Graham's legendary concert venue. And it features firsthand accounts and previously unpublished photos by fans at the shows, as well as details behind the scenes and on stage. Interesting concept. I thought that was pretty cool. I look forward to checking this one out. There's a new Tina Turner book coming out March 26. It's called Simply Tina, Tina Turner Photographed by Paul Cox. When Paul Cox captured Tina's legendary 1983 comeback performance with Heaven 17, it was the beginning of a friendship that would last over two decades. During that time, Paul was commissioned to photograph Tina for numerous video shoots and live performances, and that's what you get in this book. It's an intimate collection containing a variety of never-seen-before images, telling the story of Tina's career through a mix of live photos, live video shoots, promo shots, candid images, and sessions in recording studio, as well as photographs with such high-profile friends as Bowie, Rod Stewart, Bryan Adams, and many more. That's a new Tina book, March 26th. There is one more book that I want to mention. It just came out. It's called She's a Badass, Women in Rock Shaping Feminism by Catherine Yeske Taylor. In She's a Badass, music journalist Yeske Taylor interviews 20 significant women in rock, devoting entire chapters to each one, taking an in-depth look at the incredible talent, determination, and often humor they needed to succeed in their careers and life. I just started this book. It's great so far. Some of the people she's talked to in the book is Susie Quattro, Ann Wilson, Exene Cervenka, Gina Schock, Suzanne Vega, Sherry Curry's in there, Joan Osborne, Danita Sparks, Tanya Donnelly, Amy Ray from Indigo Girls. There's 20 chapters that go through the experience of what it's like, you know, being a female performer. The book looks at their experiences and reveals the unique challenges that these women have faced and how they've overcome them and what they think still needs to be done to continue making progress on the equality front. I'm really looking forward to the angle that this book takes. I just got this copy the other day and already I'm really enjoying it. And I just got a feeling this might be the featured title next month once I get done reading it. All right, let's end the show on a super, super high note. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in this episode. I think I covered a bunch of good titles for you, but this one is about an announcement that I just can't believe it came out of a new book. I knew of someone who I thought would never, ever write a memoir, and that is the announcement that Alex Van Halen has written a book called Brothers. It's coming out in October, and it's being billed as his love letter to his brother, Eddie Van Halen. I mean, it's only been a couple of years since Eddie passed, so Alex is still mourning his brother's death and dealing with that. I can't wait to read this book. Such a great announcement that Alex has written this book. And again, it comes out in October, and I guarantee you it will be our featured title that month. Thanks for tuning in. Love talking rock and roll and getting a chance to recommend a few titles for you. And just because the episode is over does not mean the conversation is. You can join me on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube for more book and documentary talk. And if I don't catch you there, I will catch you on the first Tuesday of every month with a brand new episode. All right, tear it down, pack it up, and head on down the road. We'll see you next time in the Rock Talk studio.